So today we celebrate the solemnity of Christ, the King of the universe. It's our big triumphal final feast of the liturgical year before we start a new year, a new liturgical year with Advent next week. So today I want to talk and meditate a little bit about the kingship of Jesus Christ. What does that mean and what is the significance and the implication of that? So to begin, first off, we have to look at what kingship means biblically. We've been working our way these last number of months through the story of salvation history, the unfolding of God's salvation in the world as we read in the Holy Scriptures. As the people eventually came out of Egypt, crossed into the Promised Land, and eventually came together from a smattering of tribes to coming together as a kingdom to bring about the kingdom of God in the world. And the most significant king that they gathered together under, who brought the people together, was King David. King David, to which God made a covenant. That David was so important because God swore an oath to David, made a promise to him, a covenant. We read in 2 Samuel 7 about this covenant, where God makes this very important promise. He says to David, "I will raise up your offspring after you, and I will establish his kingdom. He it is who shall build a house for my name, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom are firm forever before me. Your throne shall be firmly established forever." That God made this promise to King David, that one of his descendants he would put upon the throne and would reign forever. That he would be king forever and king of all the nations. And we see this promise fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. We see in the Gospels, sometimes people will refer to Jesus as the Son of David. That's actually a very significant title because all throughout the ages, the people of Israel held on to this promise to King David. When they themselves were conquered, when they went to exile, when it seemed that all hope was lost, they held on to this thread of hope. That God made a promise that one day he would rise up a son of David who would come, who would free us, who would be our king forever. And so through the good times and the bad, and especially the hard times, they held on to this hope, this promise that God made to David. And so it's very significant when in the gospel people refer to Jesus as the Son of David, because they see him, they're referring to him as he is this Messiah, this king to come, this anointed one of God, who would to come and to rise up and fulfill this promise of God. However, there were certainly people of Israel who had a very specific idea of what this kingship they thought would look like. And Jesus didn't quite fit into what they expected this to look like. That some of the Jews interpreted this promise as this king, this descendant of David, would be the one to lead the revolution, to overthrow the Romans, to destroy the emperor, and he established himself as the new emperor, that the Jewish people would then rule over all the other peoples of the world. And so that they were part of this in-group. And everyone else, the Gentiles, the Greeks, were part of the out-group who would be ruled over by the Jewish people when the Messiah would come. But Jesus flips this idea on its head. As he came to establish a new type of kingdom, he came to be the king, yes, and to rule over all people, yes, but not in the way that they expected. Rather than rising up the Jews to be the dominating people over all, he came to unite all people, to make all people part of the people of Israel, all people to be part of the kingdom of God. That he came to establish a different kind of kingship, to be the king over all peoples. Rather, he came to break down the divisions between the peoples, to unite all people together in love and in peace, to make them all one kingdom of God. If you read the letters of St. Paul, he's adamant about this, that our unity in Christ, under the kingship of Christ, we are united as one. And this unity is greater than anything that divides us, greater than anything that can separate us. So, of all these cultural differences and racial differences and ethnic differences and national differences and political differences, that those are nothing compared to our unity in Christ. That unity is stronger and more real under the kingship of Christ than anything that divides us. Because that's what Christ came to do. To form us together as one kingdom of love. And this is all over in the letters of Paul. That we are one body in Christ. Many parts, one body. That there is no more Jew or Greek, male or female, Scythian, slave or free. But we are all one, united in Christ Jesus, Paul writes. So the question arises, what if we really believe that? What if we really live that? What if each and every one of us took this seriously? This idea that Christ came to unite us as brothers and sisters in Christ. This what if we really believe this, was asked by many people throughout the ages, but thousands of years later by Pope Pius XI, just after World War I. Some of you may know that this is the 100th anniversary this year of 2018, the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, this great and terrible war that ravaged Europe. And while there were many to this World War I, while there were many complex causes and factors that led into this great war, there's one driving theme that was a contributing factor. That if you read the history books, they talk about that leading up to World War I, there's this rise in nationalism, in pride in one's culture and ethnicity, and cultural group and racial group. And while this in and of itself is not a bad thing, that for some groups it came to this extreme, that in a way they made their nation, their culture, their race, as their own false god, their idol. This extreme, that the highest good was loyalty to one's group, one's in-group, their racial group, ethnic group, cultural group, whatever. That this was the highest good. And so everyone else was outside of this group. And so the highest good is to be loyal to this group at whatever cost. And this led into, of course, the great war that ravaged Europe, World War I. And so this man who lived through and saw the disastrous effects of World War I and became Pope just after World War I, when Europe was trying to rebuild after all of this, he saw this and meditated on and asked this question, what if? That Pope Pius XI took as his papal motto, the peace of Christ in the reign of Christ. And then in 1925, he established this very feast day that we celebrate today, the solemnity of Christ, the King of the Universe. Because he asked this question, what if we really took seriously this idea that Christ is the King that unites us? That living into the kingdom of God means we are more united than anything that divides us. That if every individual, if every person, if every people, if every nation, if every political and national leader took seriously this idea that the reign of Christ is to bind us together in love, and this is stronger than anything that separates us, then this could bring about true world peace. That Christ is the Prince of Peace, the one who came to bring us together in love. And so he established this feast, Pope Pius XI, to meditate on this very reality, to hold up to all the peoples of the world this truth, that maybe, just maybe, we would start to take seriously this idea, and it would bring an end to war, that it would bring about peace in the world. So the question posed to us is that very question. What if? What if we really took seriously what we believe, that Jesus is the King who came to unite us in love. That when we try to draw these divisive lines and choose our sides, that Christ comes to erase those lines and draw one big circle that includes us all together. That he is the King over every people, every nation, and every language. That he is truly the one, the Messiah, the Savior King, who came to love us and free us from divisive sin, to unite us all in one kingdom, as one brotherhood of of love, under his reign of peace. So what if we really believed? And what if we really lived what we believed? So to him who loves us and frees us by his blood, to him be glory and power forever.